I'm going. So the Pine City Council regular meeting of Wednesday, September 8th, 2010, is called to order at 6 p.m. We will start with roll call and establishing a quorum.
Rick here.
I'm there.
Mayor Shields.
Councilor Hitchens.
Councilor McAfee.
Councilor Douglas Ward.
City Recorder Luana Damerville.
Administrative Assistant Patty Morgan.
Thank you. All staff and council are present. We do have a quorum. Donna, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, move right on to item number 4, added agenda items. Rick, is this from you?
We can add them or just do them. We can stay. We don't have that much on our agenda. After the agenda, a couple liquor licenses.
Oh, we have two of them? Okay.
We've already signed them, but just to get them approved.
Oh, okay. So that's...
The one is a package store for the restaurant where they sell beer but to go, and the other is...
Change of ownership.
Change of ownership at Ponderosa Pizza.
Okay, so that will be, discuss both of them at once. That will be 9A, discussion of 2 liquor license applications. Okay, move on to item number 5, consent agenda. Any questions under the minutes? Discussion, changes, additions?
August the 11th minutes need to be changed on page 7.
Okay. I do not have August 11 minutes, so I could not review those. It was not in my packet.
They were sent electronically.
I didn't get those up either.
I didn't get them either. I came out and picked them up.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I can tell you what it is. It's got Mr. Spreadbow from Central Oregon Intergovernmental Commission, and I believe that should be council. COIC.
COIC, Don?
That's Council in Central Oregon Area. Commerce on, or Commission on Transportation is COAC, so this is COIC, which is Council, I believe.
I don't know.
Do you want to pull books, since people didn't get a chance to review those?
I don't have a problem with it. If Don says they're okay, they're okay by me.
But we can't do it that way, though.
Still on minutes here. I believe we can, if the council is okay with accepting one councilor's review, we could approve the minutes based on that. Barbara, how do you?
I don't feel comfortable doing that, approving anything that I don't see.
All right, let's move the August 11th meeting minutes approval to the October 13th meeting. Okay. Any questions on B, bills and invoices?
Yes. On Mr. Allen's request for reimbursement, he didn't put a date on there.
What was it?
He didn't date your reimbursement request.
For the miles?
Yes.
For which day you went.
Oh, the county commission meeting?
Uh-huh.
Oh. were there. It was the day he sat at the table with me. When we met with the commissioners.
Uh-huh.
It was at... Board of County Commissioners, 1:30 on August 18th, on a Wednesday.
18:10. All right, everyone just add that. Let's be sure that it's...
Are you sure it's not 2 p.m. that you put down?
I was there from 12 o'clock to 3. There was a big group ahead of me.
What was the date?
It was the 18th of August.
Okay, so let's be sure that that goes into the permanent record, though. All right, any other questions, concerns, anything on... Okay, how about little detect? We've gone over this before. Is there a typo or something?
Maybe. I think we need to make a correction.
Yes. Okay.
According to the front page, it says this agreement is entered into this 8th day of September 2010, but made effective for all purposes as of September 1st. Then if you go to page 11, I believe it is.
There's no 11.
Item 11, yes, it says in there that it terminates on June 30th, 2010.
Yeah.
So we started it after we terminated it.
That didn't get caught. What section is that?
It's 11. On page 4, 11, first line.
Oh, okay, just make that, that date needs to be June 30th, 2011.
I assumed that.
Thanks for catching that.
No,
okay. So that correction will be made in the final document the court signed. Okay. Anything else?
Very good.
I get it.
You think so?
Are you impressed?
I am.
Are you impressed with me too? I counted.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Well, I am impressed.
Thank you.
I'm going to put one thing in every document for you. and see who catches them. Now, you know what happens with that? It's one from before, so you get through and you edit it all. And
yeah.
Most of them, you signed it that way. It causes the person to get wrong, doesn't it?
Okay. And I'm sorry, I need to back up a little bit. On the August 25th meeting minutes, page 3, page 3, the paragraph that starts at 0057, City Manager Allen recommended having the council approve an administrative review by the Deschutes County Planning Staff for the conditional use permit. Is that text amendment?
No. It was text amendment, then I thought we changed it to conditional use permit.
Let me see.
It might have been text amendment.
Page 3, August 25.
Page 3. Where am I?
Third paragraph.
Starts at 0057.
No, we were talking about the conditional use permit, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's the one that's going to cause the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
That text amendment, okay. I don't think that's a different thing.
Yeah. This is, you're talking about the second part.
This is when we're going to have this. We're allowed the staff to do the conditional use.
Right.
And okay. Then we're going to call it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Got that clarified?
It's a little confusing.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with the exclusion of the August 11th regular meeting minutes, which are moved to the October 13th meeting. For approval and with the changes that were noted that need to be made in the Little D Technology Agreement. And was there something else?
No.
Just that one change. Okay.
I so moved.
Oh, second.
It's
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hitchish, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Number six, public comments for items not on the agenda. Anyone? My gosh, we have a silent audience today. Great. Then we will move on to item number seven, approval of resolution number 2010-13, resolution creating the City of La Palma Charter Advisory Committee, etc. We have already been through this to discuss it. Is there any further discussion? Has anyone noted?
I'd like to add one thing to clarify if I could, please.
Sure.
If you go to three, the removal of committee members, one of the things is C, incompetence. How do we determine incompetence? And whose decision is it? Yours. Not me.
My guess is, without bringing up Mike, I'll bet that's in every, this is because the bottom parts of these things are in probably all of your committees and everything, you know, how you remove someone from a committee. So it's probably just always there. You know, it doesn't probably going to go in this document to decide incompetence. Bottom line is the council can remove anybody from a committee.
Yeah, I understand.
So, I would say if that's a term we don't want in our future committees, just in general, you know, we could,
I'm not concerned whether it's in there. I just want to know
it doesn't say, so you'd have to add a lot of pages, a lot of paragraphs to
describe it.
Yeah.
We'll probably come down to a council discussion if someone raises an issue about competence, and then the council would decide where to go with it. So are you okay with not having that, having it spelled out then?
It does make a difference to me. I was just wondering definition for it.
Okay.
I think it's basically we're ready to go.
Yeah.
So we got our nine people. We're going to meet on the 29th, Wednesday night, the 29th. And we're going to see if that works, for people. There was some that needed Tuesdays, and so we're going to just see what works for nine people. That's herding cats, but we'll do that. And so we'll meet then, and we'll actually start into it. I've been working on the PowerPoint a lot with it, and was tweaking it in there today. And we'll just start working on it. And it'll go, I think, quicker than you think. We'll do a public presentation to a couple of them for people to comment and get that thing done. And probably, we may meet like 3 weeks later. We may meet more than once a month and just get in there and start getting it done. We're ready to go.
All right.
So, but this forms the committee.
So, if everyone is fine, agrees that this is the form that they expected this in, I will entertain a motion a motion to approve resolution number 2010-13. Resolution creating the City of La Palma's Charter Advisory Committee, prescribing the committee's powers and duties, and establishing the committee members' terms of office.
I would so move.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hitchish, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right. Item number eight, handbook review and discussion.
Here's your...
We're only going to talk about a couple parts in it, so it'll be quite so long and boring for all those that have gathered. Now, you did, that's fine. Did you ring yours?
Yeah.
All right. I want you to open up your old one and then to un-get those out, so we don't end up with 14 versions if you want. But what we have here is a red line plus then without the red line based on the changes and comments from last meeting. And I just hate to have too many versions. If you want to just take out that, we can... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just put these, put those, just because it'll make it easier to not get confused. Okay. With some of the feedback. Is that yours?
This one is bigger.
Is that what it is?
No,
that's
it.
Is that yours? Yeah, because there's two. One is a red line, and one is unred line for those who don't like to read red line. That's fine. So, if you will go real quickly, we added substance abuse, the drug testing, and go to page 18, and you can look at those page numbers. Maybe they're not.
We don't have page numbers.
You'll find a bunch of blue in there. Let's see. Item 11. The first pages of it isn't any changes. So you get to item 11. Maybe how many of you have found that?
Got it.
Section 11. When you see 10, it will be next. If you're 13 or 14, go backwards.
What we do if we get to 12?
Okay. Actually, we'll go back up a couple of these numbers. Yeah. Let's just wait. There was some suggestion to add the, and this is a whole new area. So this isn't being changed, it's added. And you'll notice there's like three pages. It's basically we're trying to maintain a drug-free work environment. It defines alcohol, drugs, applicants. If we're going to make a job offer to somebody, it says we can make them do a drug test through a lab. And it goes on and spells out, what you do if someone tests positive. What I want you guys to do is read these, and then we can talk about it at our work session in 2 weeks, and then hopefully we can come back a month from now, and it'll be clean and ready to approve. This will talk about the consequences, how it's all done, confidentiality. This is taken from other people's drug policies. We didn't obviously sit and spend the extra, you don't want us to waste the time. This is other. I'm not sure where exactly, Jeremy put this in at your guys' request. So... So if we work backwards, if you go back to the implement letter was changed some. OPQ, that's all in snow days. If you get found that back a couple pages, there was some.
So what's the number on that one?
It's. That's
Nine.
Nine. And then it'd have to go several pages to Q. And so just some rewording there. Bottom line is that the employee, and then if you go to the next page, there's a whole bunch of added in it. And what this says is the employee can take PTO off on a snow day if they have it accredited, but they don't get paid. It's just an extra day off. On a snow day. If they have time coming, they can use it. But if they have no time coming, they are not compensated. And one of the questions came up, if they've driven in, should they be paid for X amount of, they're paid while they're here. I guess the other extreme would be if they're sent home 2 hours early, is that paid or unpaid? And I mean, if you follow the letter of this, that, if you go home 2 hours early, you either take PTO or it's unpaid. In other words, snow days are not considered a paid day. school teachers are paid on snow days.
So, so we have, so one employee can work by themselves, right?
Sure.
When they let them in.
So if one gets in, well, they have keys anyway.
Right. But if somebody comes in and they're here an hour and a half and sent home, they should be, at least be paid for half a day, don't you think?
Well, I mean, it, what it says, it does not, you know, say you get a 2-hour, it does not say you get a 2-hour minimum or any of those things. I think in reality, that's probably what, the city manager is going to use discretion on those things when those come up. So I get, the policy says you get paid when you're here and there's no pay if there's a snow day. Obviously, there's some discretion involved.
Okay.
We talked, Lana and I talked about that. I mean, if they're here, you send them home at 3:30 because it's snowing, you're probably going to count it as a day. You know.
Well, sure.
But a lot of things you just don't want in here because you want to have the discretion on your side.
Flexibility.
Go down to the confidentiality. That was an interesting one on 10. You'll notice how we basically addressed all this was, you know, what they share with the school and so on. You'll notice the last sentence, that really covers it then. Provided, however, the term confidential does not include documentation that is available to the public or subject to disclosure under the American Public Records Law. So you have to be you can't disclose things that you shouldn't disclose, but if it's something that is legal to disclose by the Oregon Public Meetings Law or Records Laws, you're free to disclose it. And so whether to describe it, because the law changes all the time, they're just saying, if it's legal to be disclosed, it's legal for you to disclose it. If it's not legal for you to disclose it, then you can't disclose it. Because we got into, and you notice you took out future plans. Well, we know that there's nothing illegal about just, you know, that. Took out proprietary and kind of reworked this. I think that covers it. Again, this is for you guys to review, email me, talk about if you have any big comments on that. Compensation, go to 12. This is after the snow day. We took out the whole thing about compensation packages being confidential. There's no way really for compensation of a public employee to be confidential, so therefore, why do you go through these contortions saying that you can't tell even your family members and tax consultant, I guess you can tell, and it could result in termination. They can put it on the front page of the bulletin. So if they can do that, you can probably tell anybody. So if we just thought to strike it, doesn't have any bearing. Okay. We took out the couple of things. One thing that he forgot that they didn't do because I made a change for it, go to the paid time off under item C, just a couple pages later. We got the vacation day set, the holidays. We took out the birthdays and anniversaries. So those aren't in here. But go to the hours. We did have 60 hours that you could build up a PTO, which is really just a week and a half. And we talked around that a lot. And I think there was consensus that that's not very much if that's total that you can build up between sick leave and vacation. That means if you have a 2-week injury, you're going to get unpaid days. And a 2-week injury isn't that long. You know, if you had a knee worked on or something, you easily could be out of here for 2 weeks. Yet you might have been here for 10 years and not used much sick leave. But what we're saying is you can only build up a week and a half. So while you don't want to get out past 3 months, you know, and so on, because then it starts to be. And we don't pay out unused sick leave. So if they quit, they don't get paid. So I went double it basically to 120 hours, absent any decision by you guys on that. So that basically gives you 3 weeks. You could have 3 weeks built up. So you could be sick for 3 weeks or have an operation for 3 weeks and you would, if you have that built, you could use it.
Man, that's a long operation. I've heard of like 12-hour operations. I couldn't resist.
Yeah, the recovery.
6 weeks.
So this includes vacation time.
Yes.
because that sometimes makes it difficult in a small office for the person working with this person is taking all this time off.
I mean, vacations, you have to get approval from the manager to take your vacation. Yeah. So, it gets worked out. I mean, someone can't just come in and basically plot it and tell you, well, tough, I'm going anyway. I mean, so...
They wouldn't take 6 weeks all together.
Unless they were truly... It's 3 weeks.
Well, if you add what they accrue... Oh, okay.
This would be the maximum you could build up.
If you can't... I was thinking if
you were doubling
over
it.
Plus
yeah.
What you have. Okay.
I mean, I'll put whatever number there, but the 60 hours is way down on the low end.
Yeah.
I need to make a clarity on that. It's not the maximum that can be built up.
It's what can be carried over.
Can be carried over.
Right.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the year.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
What are you guys comfortable with on that?
123 weeks. I'm comfortable with that. I do not think that that's excessive.
I didn't hear what Mom said. She said that this could be carried over.
We can carry a maximum of 3 weeks over.
Okay, so then you have 3 weeks built up this year. You get in the next year, you can get an additional 3 weeks because you carried the 3 weeks over. Or
yeah,
because
you take all year. Yeah, it takes you all year to get your 3 weeks the next year because it's acquired monthly, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you didn't use, just say in 1 year you use none of your time off, sick or vacation, and you carried 100% of it over, and then you went the second year and didn't use any till December, you could have 6 weeks built up. So you'd almost be like 2 years of not taking a day off or being sick. I mean, probably not going to happen. I mean, I look at most places, you can build up on, because this is sick leave. Most people will let you build up a month of sick leave. If you have not been sick, you've been healthy for years, and you all of a sudden... You have a gallbladder surgery or something comes along and you've been a solid employee and you have not been sick.
So what I understand you saying then is that anything that is brought over from the following year can only be used as sick time?
No, it'd be since it's PTO.
So it's PTO time.
Right.
Right. My feeling is this is fine, but I think that this is just highlighting what a bad idea this PTO time was, and that as soon as we can get out of
you like sick leave and vacation.
Sick leave and vacation and treat them differently.
Yeah.
And perhaps when we absorb the districts, we need to reassess this.
I don't disagree with you. I'm not used to the PTO thing, but it was here when I came.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of places go back and forth on that. There's pros and cons to it, but
yeah.
I agree.
Well, one of the reasons we went to it is because it just makes it simpler for doctor's appointments. Do you take it as vacation, or do you take that as sick time? And that's where the if it's PTO, it doesn't matter. That was one of the reasons.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But I think the year that I've been here, I think that we talked about it like 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work.
Well, we're going to have to look at what sewer and water districts are doing to their employees. Yeah. Look at what we are. Kind of merge all that a year from now anyway. And so we'll be rewriting all of this.
Yeah.
And strike a balance.
I'm comfortable with 120 on
that. Okay. We changed the jury duty to where, you know, that you can... and you also turn over your. Remember, you want to turn over the everything except mileage if you get paid. The big interesting. The Family Medical Leave Act is not in here, and it's not gonna be. That was one, and it. It is going to be bizarre, and the insurance lady that I talked to, we went over it, I think, but the lady insurance services put this together. They're the ones who insurance if we're sued, so they like to make it right. She told me what the law was, and I told it to Jeremy, and he said, well, that doesn't make any sense. I've never heard of such a thing. I said, well, it makes no sense to me either, but that's what she said. So they proceeded to check this out, and Jeremy then emailed me and said, it is the bizarrest thing in the world, but she's right. What it says is, we fall under, the city of Lapine falls under the FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act. By law, we, the city, have to adhere to it. We have to have a poster on the wall that spells it out. However, the employee can't access it unless you have 50 or more employees.
No.
So the city has to have the policy, or we fall under the federal policy. You can go on the internet and see what it says. But if Luana or Patty came and said, I want to take 2 weeks off because I have a sick father, she can't do it because she has no right to use it.
So we're requesting 48 more employees be hired.
And the courts have ruled this. It's been challenged all over the place. And they basically decided that small entities can't, it puts too much of a burden. If you had someone take 3 weeks off for grandpa and 3 weeks off for grandma, and then someone's got a baby and granddaughter and everything else, it just puts a burden. So he said, unless you've got 50 employees, the employee has no access to it. So it doesn't need to be in here. We fall under it, but we don't have an employee that can use it. And Jeremy now agrees with the insurance services ICS people.
Can you use your sick leave?
Oh yeah. Well, you can take personal time off. Sick leave, we have PTO, so you can take anything with PTO.
But even if you didn't have that, you can take sick leave to take care of a sick family member.
Yeah, well, that's we have PTO, so I don't know when we go to them. If we change our system, it's a definition. Sick leave doesn't qualify for relatives. So that's basically the end of it. And of course, it caused them the pages to change numbers and other things. We incorporated all of the little changes, the words here and there. There were some does and ands and its and things. So we dealt into the confidentiality stuff, added drug policy, took out FMLA, tweaked the snow removal, and worked on what you can carry over on your PTO.
Okay, you had one more place in there with the yellow highlight on the general dispute resolution where we had the written complaint. That is number five.
We go to 10 days or something.
It
was 5 days, and we just added 10. But okay. You guys wanted to go to 10.
Yeah, okay. So that changed. Okay.
Yeah, I say there's some other little liners in here.
Okay.
So can you guys all, if you want, spend some more time looking at this? It would be nice to where we can make final changes or things that are meeting in 2 weeks so that when we're done at that meeting, it will come back 2 weeks later, and you're ready to approve it. So it then becomes our policy. So silence, and no one says anything, and move forward.
The first section is what you changed, and the second is after.
No, the first one just has the red line and things, and things, but the second one is the first one without all those markings.
Oh, okay.
Some people don't like to read red lines and crossouts.
So the second one is the way it will be if we do nothing.
Yes, that's correct. The second one actually would be the finished product unless we change anything now.
Okay.
And this repeals in the other policies. It says it in there that this repeals the other policies, and when we make our motion, it will repeal the other types of things that over the couple, 3 years that have been hodgepodge together. This is
so we'll have a list of those?
I can. This is the new policy.
But I mean, if you're going to repeal each, I think each of those are either their resolutions, aren't they? So you would have to repeal them by title, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
I don't, but I'm going to put that down as a, something to find out about. But this does, in effect, repeal everything.
Will it take effect immediately then, as soon as the council passes it?
Yep. It doesn't have a later date type thing, so it would.
So Thomas Day would be over.
So we'll have to sound with you guys.
I think Thomas Day will.
Okay. That's all on that.
Okay, so we should come back to the works at this month's work session. Ready to say before?
Yeah, if you have any other little things, because we can put them in so that you get them a week ahead of your regular meeting. And I'm going to find out about what we're repealing.
Right.
So we can.
Okay.
You'll email that to us.
Yeah. I mean, it may come at our work session. We'll just hand it out or email it. Try to do the Paper Reduction Act.
Yeah. Okay. Homework, everyone. With that, we will move on to other matters. We have two liquor license apps that came to the city between too late to go on the consent agenda, I guess. Correct, Jeremy? Oh, Jim.
One is the Pine Inn, the first one. They just simply want to be able to sell beer to go, you know, by the half case, and that's a lot of bars and taverns do that. It's, the OLCC's already given them a 90-day approval. Just off-premise sales. Common in taverns, but anyway, so they're just existing licensee, and they wanted to get it to LCC, so I signed it for them today, so that we're not an obstruction to them. And then the other one, the Ponderosa Pizza. You know, these places don't like to operate without the beer license, any of these, and so we only meet once a month, so we try to be business friendly. I mean, you know, and none of these are new. If it was a brand new restaurant coming to town, and you know, we get it out to you, but managers come and go, owners come and go, and so these were all existing businesses. So we have signed them. Actually, Luana signed one, I signed the other one. So, but I don't know if there's a law that says you have to approve. You know, I don't think the Portland City Council sits and approves every beer license. So it's more of how you want to operate. And so what I've been doing is we sign them in order to be business friendly, but let them come here. And then if you have a comment on them or something, if you start seeing us approve some that you don't like, you can start saying, hey, be stricter on this. So it's almost more informational. You are, in fact, approving them after the fact, but you send us a direction if you don't like what we're doing.
So that's not a direction of the OLCC that it has to be approved by the council?
The OLCC has a final authority on it.
Right, but what's the criteria in
I don't know that.
Because I know that they do it in Bend, that we have to, but as a whole, they just say...
They put them on a consent agenda.
Yeah.
Well, Luana, would you... Luana's explained, she has explained this to us before. Go ahead.
As to why the city needs to sign off?
Yeah.
Well, I think the question is, does it have to be, we have to sign, but I think the question is, does the council need to vote on it so it's approved by the council on the record?
Right.
Or can the city manager sign it? Would you check into that?
With who?
OLCC. No, ask the OLCC. They're the ones sending it to us for approval.
Right.
And does it require the council to approve it and then me sign it Or?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
Well, just call.
We just need to know, but I will
just check with them. Because it's a good thing to know. Most cities in the smaller towns have them on consent agendas. But our problem is when you don't meet once a week and things, I know that restaurants aren't sitting around waiting a month for a council to meet. Mm-hmm. So the city managers are probably signing them, and then it's coming maybe after the fact.
On the consent.
You know,
okay. I think so.
That's probably what happens. Or you may get an application for a little celebration downtown that's going to have a beer garden. Mm-hmm. I mean, they only come in 2 weeks before the event.
Okay, well, we always have had the council approve them before. So if there's no further discussion, then I will entertain a motion for the council to approve these two liquor license applications.
I shall move.
A second?
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Lefty, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Banner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right. And that brings us down to item number 10, second chance at public comments for items not on the agenda.
The Chamber of Commerce should give a report right here.
Well, you came in just in time. This is your last chance.
Last chance to say anything?
To say anything.
At all?
Yeah.
Well, we're putting on a great... We're having a lot of fun trying to rehearse for a play for our 100-year celebration, and hope you all come enjoy the... see us make fools of ourselves.
Especially
you,
Dan.
Could you do it a few days early, though?
Few days early.
Because we have to be in Eugene during it.
Yeah, you come to watch a rehearsal.
We were talking about trying to have a booth in your little deal.
Yeah.
I think, but you have to see.
It's a big deal.
many of us are in Eugene for the labor in cities.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd go down there and sit in the booth, and I could have a good time with that. I was thinking about having our charter and do some things, and maybe have a little poll.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a
cool
question of people, let them pick your issue of the day, which is, do you want someone to be on there that lives outside the city limits? It'd be kind of interesting, but I obviously won't be there to A, help set it up, nor operate. And you'll be gone, and you'll be gone. So, unless it's something that the council wants staff to try to do, you know, it'd take a little money. I mean, you got to set up a booth and figure out your booth and do all that. Are you having the room done with curtains? You have to bring your own everything, or do you have little curtains, or you know?
Well, we have frames, but people usually hang a curtain or something like that.
What do you mean by frame?
Frames, framework to hold the curtain.
PVC pipe.
Yeah, it's 3/4. It's metal, it's electrical.
And so then you get your 10-foot spot, say.
Yeah.
And then you can put a table, put a tablecloth over it, and you can, you know. And then, Vicki already said she'd help man it.
We didn't discuss that yet. We'll have to negotiate that.
We were in early negotiations.
It's a job for the mayor to man the booth.
Man
the booth. The name of the deal is business, it's, what's it called? That thing that you're doing there. So.
Well, we have the 100-year celebration. It's called Heart and Spirit of the Pine. And in the middle of that, we'll have the Business and Community Expo. And everything that's Lapine is invited to participate.
It's nice for us to be there because we're part of Lapine and it helps make the event successful.
Yeah. What are the hours?
4 to 7 on Friday and 10 to 2 on Saturday.
When is the play?
5:00 on Saturday.
If we put a booth in there, I'll help man.
Okay.
Do you want us to make it happen?
Yeah.
Yes. I think we should.
And Saturday, we want to have a little ceremony. We're going to have a 100-square-foot birthday cake, and we'd like to have some celebrities from the city council give a little speech. And
can I just step out of the cake?
On what day?
Every Saturday night, about 6:00, right after the play.
Okay. Don's going to pull out.
We
want those guys come to bachelor parties.
We
can try to find it.
I think if we can get staff to set up a booth for us. And we have, we're going to have about three counselors here. We're going to have three counselors here during that time. You won't be here?
Well, I'm tentatively the 25th and 26th. I'm going to be in Madras at the Jefferson County Rod and Gun Club.
Okay.
You're in handicap shoot.
But how about the 24th? Anyway, it's not a lot of hours. We can set up a booth and split the time.
That's all right. I don't know.
We can make it happen. I'm just waiting for you to tell me.
Yeah, let's go ahead and set up a booth.
I
think it's a good idea.
Luana, we're going to make it happen.
I can start it, but my vacation starts at 5 o'clock.
No, you don't need it. What I want you to do is, we know we're going to have the space. You can talk to him about how wide. You can, on Thursday, you can probably set it up, maybe a Friday morning.
Yeah.
But you can get the table down there, and then you organize some volunteers. We got our chair of our planning commission. It'll be great for a couple hours. Get some of our committee people that are serving on our charter committee. And then a councilman or two that can do it. It's not that many hours. Figure out what we want to put down there, and we'll have time to work on a little ballot question if we want. We could have them stuff it in a ballot box, have some fun, and talk and say that. Lets people know we're going to have a charter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we already have a banner, too, Rick.
Okay. So, Luana, you're in charge of it.
Okay.
And then, and that also includes coordinating, getting your volunteers to fill the time slots. So, Ben, me, you'll be there Friday, and then planning commission members, and so on. Yeah.
When do we have to have it tore down?
We need to tear down fairly soon after 2 o'clock because that's when the play will be starting.
We need to make sure the right person is the last person there and take the table and put the stuff in their car.
No problem. I can be there. I just want to know when.
Good. And you didn't go on vacation, not to worry about it.
I think it's a good idea.
Good, thank you. That's the kind of thing we need to do.
Thank you.
Okay.
So you just picked up a booth.
Good.
And note for future councils for the 200-year celebration. Put League of Oregon Cities on their conference schedule. Okay. Vicki?
I have a question. You have public comments. Number 6, not on the agenda, and then you have 10 public comments not on the agenda. So when is the public, if they want to comment on the agenda?
Thank you.
Because I was just kind of wondering, because I did have a question on this.
Did we have a sign up?
Yeah, we did, and nobody signed up on it. But you only have like 2 topics, so what if...
Public comment time, so okay. What is your comment?
I have a question. Does the Pine Inn, I mean, I know it's a heavily visited business that people drink a lot, and are they, because what my concern is, and it's just a question, no big deal, but if somebody's going to drink and basically drink themselves to where they should be going, and then they go and buy beer to go, is that what they're doing?
You can buy. Here we go. You can't take your half drink, but you're out the door.
Right.
My guess is, most of those sales will be, since you don't have any stores that stay open late here, at 10 and 11 o'clock at night, someone's going to the lake or whatever it can be, they're going to come in and buy a half case of Bud Light to go. That's really what it's about. They're open until midnight or 1 in the morning on weekends, and your closed stores, all their closed at 10-ish or 9.
Well, we have 2 stores open, the Gordy's one by the truck, and then the little gas station, they're open, I believe, all night. That's the only 2.
Being someone that has purchased in those kind of places at those hours, that's what we would be doing.
Right. I just hope they would use discretion when somebody drinks in the
restaurant. We always did.
Gets their to-go stuff.
Yeah.
Or gets their to-go and then goes sit in the restaurant.
I know there are laws. They can't serve to anyone drunk and they can't serve to minors.
Right.
Okay.
If you're an on-sale server, you have to have somebody that's qualified under OLCC laws. And if they provide liquor to go when they can visibly see that the person shouldn't have it, they can lose their license and their job. So I don't think it'll be a problem in these places.
And for license holders and for people who have to have that license, which I've had for a number of years, it's called VIP, visually impaired person, you risk everything
by seeing somebody that's already had six or seven drinks sitting at the bar, getting up and selling them a six-pack of beer or 12-pack of beer and go. So there's rules about this.
Right. And this is, these approvals are first approved by the Liquor Control Commission. You know, so.
Well, after you guys do it.
No, before they come to us.
Actually, after.
Yeah.
But they've given them a 90-day temporary.
Okay. Yeah. But they pretty much said when they do that that they don't have a problem with it. They're looking to see if we have any kind of a big problem.
If we have any concerns, we can give those concerns to OLCC and they will.
But what they've told us in the past is it's not even going to come to us if OLCC has a problem with it in the first place. So they pass the big hurdle going there first.
Yeah. I think if I could say that this whole idea around the city signing it, used to be with the county. There has to be an entity that's in local control that gets the courtesy of knowing that this liquor license is issued. And it's offering the city or the courtesy of making note of it.
Right, and that's a big part. Thank you. That's a big part of what it is. It's just an FYI for us. We sign off on the FYI usually because OLCC has already, in effect, given it their blessing.
One thing, if I could, please. Vicki pointed out, and I don't think it got picked up, her comment was that you have two items on here, and both of them read the same. Public comment on items not on the agenda.
Right.
Okay? When do you get to make comments about items that are on the agenda?
Well, we have the sign-up sheet as you come in.
No. This is your agenda.
Right.
And the agenda says not on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter whether you sign up out there or not. One of these needs to say items on the agenda.
Because she asked for
that's what this is for, is for the items that are on the agenda.
If you don't have it on your agenda, and this is the official process of information that goes through the city council's meeting.
Because it doesn't need to be on the agenda, because when people have signed up on here, that's in front of me. And so when item number 5 or 6 comes up and we're discussing that, then I read the names off of that and they get their comment time.
We haven't, as a rule, ever had consent agenda, because we generally have just had minutes and things on consent agenda. It's only recently that we've added.
We're not talking about a consent agenda.
Well, even on the consent agenda, I mean, everything you guys are approving, the public doesn't get a comment.
You know, well, one, first of all, you could easily just say, you could just put public comment and don't put anything after it in both places. In other words, they can talk at the beginning of the meeting about anything they want. If they want to tell us about a celebration, they can wait till after the meeting, or, you know, at the end of the meeting. They can tell us at the beginning if they want to talk about anything. Really, you don't need the words on the agenda or off the agenda, because we're not that structured. If you just, in the future, we just say public comment, there's two opportunities for people to talk.
Still complain.
Okay, people, that's a good idea. Public comment period, twice on the agenda.
One thing that I'd like to comment on, and that's if somebody signs up on this while we're doing the actual discussion about the topic, it gives us a better opportunity to understand what you, the public, feel about that particular item. So I think it's very important for you to make your comments at the time that we're actually discussing something. That way we can get your input, and that might make a decision on how I vote.
That might be a good idea to address that at the beginning of the meeting. If anybody wants to speak on any items that are on the agenda, be sure you sign up on the... You know,
that
you could do that at the very beginning.
Is that what you were
going to
say, Ken?
Well, I've come many times, and I've looked out there, and I've looked at the agenda, and not really thought, well, right. I don't want to say something about this. I'm not going to sign up. However, during the discussion, I hear things that I want to make comment about, and therefore, I'm not on there. And it used to be that if you weren't on that list, you couldn't talk.
Okay, well, anyone who has been attending meetings with this mayor knows that when you're really antsy and you have to say something, you just sit out there and wildly wave your hand.
Yeah.
I allow comments.
Yeah.
I do. So I don't think we've ever yet, we've tried a lot of different systems and we haven't found one yet that's perfect. I don't know if there is one that is absolutely perfect.
I think maybe what you could do is take at the beginning, you know, when we say it, make sure now, does anyone want to talk? Sometimes exactly what can, you know, you'll think about it as you hear the discussion. And again, this is a normal crowd. Isn't it easy to allow someone a few minutes to talk?
It is.
Yes. You know, and if they start going on too long or if you got too many, then you got to kind of structure it. But 99% of the time, you can let it, you know.
Yeah. And that is pretty much.
And that's kind of how you do it.
What I've always done, even though we do have structure, I also sometimes totally forget the structure and don't call on someone when they are signed up. That's obviously unintended. We do try to get everyone's comments. But we're also always open for ideas from anyone who thinks there could be a better way. So for me right now, I'm still comfortable with the sign-up sheet. I do like the idea, Gloria, of the mayor reminding the public at the beginning of the meeting to sign up for anything they think they might want to comment on. And at the same time, if you didn't sign up, again, make yourself seen. I'll call on you. Okay. Or if I don't see you, another counselor will remind me that happens and will point it out to me, and that happens a lot. Any other public comment? Questions? All right. Committee reports. Do we have any committee members? No reports?
I mean, I get the committees, the transportation, the planning commission, we just got there's a ton of meetings. They got a lot of meetings coming up to do hearings on. In fact, when we have our work session, I think in a couple of weeks, our normal work session, we may be going over to Mid-State and they'll have a hearing here. They got lots of them. And there's no way they meet on Wednesdays. There's only X amount of Wednesdays. So there's no way to not have them on the same night. I think there's once or twice, but we didn't want to do it on a council night where we're voting on things. So it just shows the public we're moving things, you know. And the planning commission stuff, they got a lot of discussion on sign ordinances and you name it. And so there is a couple crossovers coming up, but they're meeting a lot. It's not just once a month. It's several. There's several in there, and they have to meet deadlines and things. And so. Anyway, they're very busy. We did get an application from Donna over at the sewer district for our Public Works Committee, but I didn't want to come in with any recommendations on that until we kind of talk to the boards tomorrow and see any of them, the elected folks, want on and so on. And I did talk to Donna about the fact that if after we would merge them that, you know, you're not going to have a staff member on the committee. Mm-hmm. And she understood that. So I think there's no downside to having her serve. Actually, it's probably positive. Because it gets her into transportation and other things, starts to get them part of the system and things. But I want to make sure that there could be some board members that want to serve. Mm-hmm. And that's on our agenda tomorrow. Transit Room Tax Committee is going to meet for their last meeting coming up here to finish off some stuff late this month.
October
6th.
October 6th.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. Our Utilities Committee will obviously keep doing their thing. Is that all of our committees? Pretty much CARS, kind of our standing committees. You each have committees that you serve on, COIC and other things, but that's maybe under your council comments.
I don't know. We seem to have a little confusion on that. It doesn't matter to me if councilors do that under committee reports or council comments. Okay, I think that pretty much covers it then for committees. Unless councilors have them, we'll do it under council comments. Staff comments?
I was expecting to pass this down, and I just show you, we are doing inventories. We haven't inventoried our stuff, and Patty's been working on this. You know, it's like your computers, you know, we just have stuff, and over time, we're finding as we've grown, we've acquired stuff, and it's time before it gets away from you. So you'll notice we've got the item, when it's purchased, what it cost us, serial numbers, and this is nice to start early for insurance purposes and keeping track of stuff. And Patty's taking this on her own, and this is our first kind of list, and we already came up with a couple things we think aren't on here. But prior to this, there really was not a list of what we have. We got a label maker, so we can label things. You can see on the back of my little laptop here, property of the city of Lapine. So we put that on, everything. Then, so the laptop works very well.
There's a virus on
there. I'm doing this for the little Devona.
Yeah, exactly.
Rick, are you going to number them in some way so that you know which it is on here?
We haven't given them a number because we didn't have that many items. You could possibly establish a number. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's enough things. You know, it's the laptop, the city manager's laptop, it's the desk. Or whatever.
Under comments, it gives a little bit more information.
But that's something inside, you know, because ultimately we may want to get actual sticky labels that you stick on permanently that, you know, as you acquire more, but this is the right step. So anyway, I thank Patty for taking that on.
Are you going to inventory the storage area too?
It's mostly records and junk, is my impression.
Oh, I thought there was furniture in there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll inventory what we have that's not just nothing.
We already have everything in the indice about the records that are in storage, right?
Pardon?
We have an indice of all the records that are in storage anyway, right?
We know what's in there. Yeah?
Right, so you do have the... Right?
Yes.
You have them
in
a table?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. A list? That's what you're asking?
Oh, the list?
What do you have? Everything that's in storage and where they're at.
The different documents.
Yeah.
We know what's in there.
There's not a list, what you're saying.
No.
So in other words, when you say take out two-year-old stuff, whatever you decide, right now, are you just saying we're taking out, say, 2007 and we're boxing it and going?
We have two years of minutes, the first 2 years, and then we've got all the boxes that everybody brought in on airport information out there. We've got extra... boxes on...
Well, I don't need to know what was in there, but I think the important point is that they're in a list. And
maybe
I think didn't you go to that seminar?
The archiving?
There's two boxes. I'll make a list of the two boxes.
That's a start.
Yeah.
We can do that.
But if it's a storage shed filled, there has to be more than two boxes.
Well, there's stuff. But as far as records, I think that Dale, that's probably a good idea. We should, because then once it gets away from you, it's hard to rein it in. We were today talking about electronic archiving. You know, we get a document on a speed limit thing over here from ODOT, and I said, you know, should we scan it, keep it electronically, and get rid of the paper document if it's just a report? I mean, do you keep it for a year or two? Because it's just a report. It's not a legal document or anything. How long, and do you keep it here? And then we store stuff upstairs, way up in the sky, in cyberland, you know, okay, off-site. Is that correct?
We have all that stuff scanned anyway, but yeah.
Yes, but where is it stored? If this building burns down, is it stored off-site?
Yes.
And where is it stored?
At the storage unit, and we give dumpster.
No. Things on our computer, in other words,
there's a redundant archive. It's a Mosey professional version or whatever. So yeah, the electronic files that are on the server are backed up offsite.
Okay.
and a paid service.
Right. That's the thing. So if we burn down, the computer crashes, we have stuff. Or like the Parks District, someone came in and stole the computers.
And we did that as a disaster plan.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's good. So we have it. But I think then our having an archive list, an index list that you could search, you know, of what types of documents are over there. Because, again, over time, A, employees will come and go. Mm-hmm. And that list grows every year in your city. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon it's 10 years, and you got 10 years worth of stuff over there, and nobody knows, and you're just going through boxes. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully we'll store it on site when we get us to City Hall. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have, in our City Hall, we'll have a secure area that's fireproof or close to fireproof that you can store on site. But still, it's nice to have a list. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Good job for the reporter.
And even a two-item list is a good start. Mm-hmm. So.
And being it's mandated by the state, this is probably a good idea.
Okay, the telephone system, we have, as you guys, you put it in your budget to spend $3,000 on a new phone system, so long before you ever heard of me, obviously somebody was working on this, and it's definitely needed. You know, you can't, we don't have voicemail, really, that you can have to different people, and you have two phone lines, and if they're on one phone, and you dial it, you get a busy signal, there's no rollover, you got all these different phones in here, I learned to run one, and I get a different one, and I mean, there's like five different phones.
No conference.
No conference. So I talked to Tony and his wife, and they had talked to you guys before and given you some prices and some ideas. And I think it's time to move forward, but I wanted to make sure it's large enough to work when you pick up sewer water, have more staff, and if we move to a new building. So in other words, you can transport it, you can add on to it, mm-hmm. and so on. And Tony, you can talk about it if you'd like, if you want to come over up here. And, but their proposal is it's $3,045. We have $3,000 in the budget. It'd be a talk switch for EVS system, five telephone lines with extensions, because so there's one with our bookkeeper, one for me, one for the two of them, an extra to run around and so on. And they would all, and then we'd be able to do voicemails. Punch one for city manager, punch two for city recorder, that type of thing. And you have music on hold, the whole thing.
Sure. So yeah, Tony DeBrown, Little D Technology. And we were kind of trying to, I was trying to hand this project off, but it came right back at me. So we're going to knock this thing out. But the Talk Switch is the brand name of the system. There's a couple of them in town already. At Lafine Insurance, and that's where I have experience with one that's similar to this one. So I helped install that system and the extensions. The phones we're going to purchase are generally $200 a piece for the desktop, and those are going to be IP phones. They're going to work through the internet locally, just on site. But we can go up to like 16 extensions with IP phones through this system, plus four analog phones. So it's really very extendable. I think I learned a little bit more about it right after I spoke to you, how extensible it was. It's a little black box. It'll go in the closet, and we'll just wire it in. I think, installing it, just physical wires is going to be kind of easy. The hard part's going to be setting up the voicemail for the first time and just spending some time with it. So we do have, a half a dozen hours or something in there for just total support for this thing. It's kind of a slam dunk. We're all wired for it. The funny part is I'm kind of the only one in town that knows how that closet works, since the county people could do it on contract too, or whatever, but, I've been in there dividing out the internet and the phone lines a couple times, so just kind of a funny situation. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be a great system, on hold, transfer calls, do anything. We didn't purchase a wireless phone, a wireless extension. We can use any analog phone as that extension, so you can transfer a line to it and walk it, out of the office there, or whatever.
No reason. Here we need a wireless if you want to talk to someone. Without a group, you don't do that in our office.
Yeah,
because everything's a group discussion.
So I think it was about $300 for their version of a wireless handheld, but you can use ones you have or get a different one.
So if you guys are okay with that, we budgeted it. You obviously talked about it back when you put the budget together, and the money's in there. So if you guys kind of tell me to move forward on it, I'll do that.
The other item for the price was, I thought we were looking at about a $500 less main unit. And I'm glad I spoke to you at one point. I called and I said, what are we thinking here? Well, now we're bringing water and sewer on. We need to have this many lines. So really, the main unit of this thing is $1,495, so $1,500. And we thought it was going to be $1,000 when we first talked about this. So I think the budget committee rounded up to $3,000, and sure enough, that's where it ended up being. So that was good.
Council, comments?
Go ahead.
Okay. I just have a question. Will there be something for somebody's calling for the counselors at the office here? Will there be a voicemail or a transfer to wherever phones they're going, or do they have to call in to get messages?
We'll have the capability for anything.
Yeah, we can put, obviously, there's room on there, I'm sure, for a bunch of people for voice messages.
Yeah.
Being a former mayor who had that at City Hall, I found it to be nothing but a problem because I never checked it often enough, and then people would be mad because it's sitting on there.
Right.
And one thing about it, coming to the city manager or to the staff, it's going to get answered.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can send it to, or they're going to call you at home on your cell phones, your personal phones, but it gets lost over in that voicemail. To me, it's like having another email and more places and more phone numbers and more places to check, but we can add any councilman that wants that. You know, in other words, for city council, push this. For Councilor McAfee, push 8. Councilor Hedges, push 9. Then you're going to have to retrieve it because it's not up to us.
Just configuration. You got to watch out for that.
I just wanted to mention, though, right now we're not allowed to give out any phone numbers for councilors.
Well, no, that would be a city-specific.
Yeah, but I mean, people do get a hold of it.
There's a mailbox.
But if there was a voicemail for councilors, it would be helpful for us in a way, because when people call in and want the number or want to talk to the councilor or the mayor or whatever, we can't give them a phone number over the agency.
So I would say, it would be up to a councilman, because I can't make a councilman retrieve their messages.
Okay,
if they want to do it, the capacity is there, correct?
Oh, yeah. I think you can give voice to email and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, very configurable.
Oh, okay.
So you can transfer to their cell phone so that they don't have to call in. Is that possible?
And you might as well.
Sure. I mean, if you've got this great technology, I'm thinking. Because then, what if Adele's super busy and somebody really wants to talk to her?
They have to
work. Friendly, so it doesn't create more work. I mean, because on your website, it just has their email and it's the Lapine email. So if somebody said, I want to leave a message for Barbara, I want to be able to leave a message for Barbara, or have that phone be transferred. So you're saying it can't be done.
Yeah, but it's up to them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they want it, of course.
If they want it, then,
I'm in the phone book. Doesn't matter.
I know.
So, sounds like lacking anybody having a rule, we'll move forward.
Yes.
Sounds good.
He's just saying.
Good. Thank you, guys.
Great.
Thanks, Tony. We talked at the work session, but I just want to make sure you're okay. I want to start moving forward on our city hall, because as we do sewer and water, it becomes more necessary and just all these things. And I met with USDA on that. I met the manager for the region and Pam Squires, who is the kind of the staff that does them all. And we met for 2 hours in Redmond here a couple weeks ago. And so the money's there. And so on. We have to do some preliminary engineering and types of things and do some due diligence. And I remember at a work session I said we were probably going to spend $10,000 or $15,000, and in our budget under our contract line, there's probably like $20,000 or $25,000 that's not used. So again, I just want to make sure that you're okay, because I've got to start.
The consultant line?
It's contractor services. I think is where it is, or consultant. It's a line item. It's line item, it's called contractual services, line item 13, where we had a crossing guard for $13,500, which we're not doing. And then there's $10,000 for our audit, and our audit's $4,900 and something, so there's $5,000 savings there. And our LOC contract we did with Roger and them says $7,500, we spent less than that. So there's like 20-some thousand in that.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have to spend probably $10,000 or $15,000 to do some of these things in order to get the loans to buy the city hall. That's just a, it's a requirement of the USDA that you do those things. So it's just kind of an upfront cost that, you know, they want to make sure the building meets ADA, that if you're going to take a wall out to make a city council chambers, does it hold the building up? It's all stuff you want to know. Mm-hmm. But they don't give us the loan first, so we have to pay for it. And so there is money in the budget, and I just want to make sure that everyone's on board with it. I got a list of their kind of accepted architects and engineers. It helps if they've done business with USDA, because they have their own way of operating. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to know them more because of sewer and water. And because they finance all of the infrastructure, sewer and water, other than the county loan.
The USDA.
Yes.
Okay.
And they sent me kind of all the criteria, what we got to do, and so on. So I called a couple engineers, and, you know, they'll come out and meet for free and everything, but it's, you know, one guy maybe $3,000 for this, and you may have to have an architect for this. We have to have an outside audit to make sure we're capable of paying the debt, which, again, you want to know that. But it can't be done internally. You are required to hire someone to audit it, and it can't be anyone that does your audit. They want a third party, and there are lots of people in Central Oregon to do that. So they're going to look at our books, make sure, can you afford the debt service on this building? If they loan us $500,000 and the payments are $25,000 a year, do we have the money in the budget to do that now or in the future? And it's just due diligence.
Just curious. So this would be a project budget, and then you would just go ahead and allocate the funds out of this line item?
Yeah, I was going to use the contract services,
okay,
which these are going to be contracts. And like I say, we have, and just stay, make sure it will be less than we have available. Until I get into it and get prices, I don't know.
Yeah.
But most of these, a lot of them will want to do it cheaper because they want the job.
Right.
When you go to do the remodel.
Right. So I guess it's, so if any one contractor, we have to pay over five, then it has to come back to council for approval, or?
We may come back anyway. I just want you to, I want you to bless moving forward on a city hall that will cost money. You know, so because I don't want to go through a bunch of contracts and all that work, if someone's gonna, if a majority of the council then says stop,
right.
You know, I mean, there's a due diligence cost up front to purchase or build a city hall. You have to do this no matter what we do. It doesn't matter on location. Doesn't matter how we do it. The USDA says you got to do these things to get their loans. And they fund the majority of all public facilities. So everybody's doing this. It's just kind of a...
Yeah.
But we just haven't ever done that, we'll find yet, because we haven't had to.
I think everyone has recognized, obviously, that we do need a city hall. And you do a great job of telling us what's involved and, you know, what the steps are and what you think. You know, where the money's coming from
and these reports on top
is and such, yeah. So I say yes, we need to move forward.
What do you plan to do with the building that the water and sewer board is in?
You know, we'll wait. That'll be down the road. When the utilities committee, I think, will talk about those types of things. But I can tell you that building is necessary. It needs to be there for various reasons, and so just off the cuff, my guess would be that is where most cities and counties have their public works department somewhere. They have an office or they have a thing, so that's where they would meet. And you know, they have, when a contractor wants to meet on, say, a snowplow deal, they're going to go down there and meet with them, talk about what we're looking for, sit around that little table in their conference room, lay out the plans. You would probably have the staff, like, say, our billing clerks, the people who collect the sewer and water revenues, they would be at City Hall.
I have a little comment on that building. There is a diesel generator and pump and pressure controls in there. So, I mean, about a quarter of that building is the pumping and the backup pressure control and, you know, power outage systems and stuff like that. So there's quite a bit of activity in that building on the other half.
Yeah. So that building will stay and be active. Only the two people work there. The manager and Ashley, the billing clerk. So Ashley would probably come here and Donna would stay there.
Any other questions, Barbara?
No.
Okay.
So, would you like for us to move forward on this?
Yes, I agree that you should. Don?
Oh, I'm ready to move forward. Let's go.
All right.
I'm meeting with Gary Farnsworth, who's the regional second level guy at ODOT, and the manager at Bryant, and a Deschutes County Commissioner. In a couple weeks, we're going to meet in Bend at 8:30 in the morning on road issues in Lapine, highway issues, and that includes Wickiup Junction. Mm-hmm. And kind of what's happening there and funding, and just so I can give you an update on Wickiup Junction. You know, they've been working on that for 5 years. Mm-hmm. They've been planning it for 5 years. So it's a plan that obviously has done a lot of planning. And so I'm trying to get a handle on what is the plan and when's it going to get built. The planning should end at some point. So you could move to construction. So I'm going to find that out, and then any other issues. So I'll be doing that.
So is that First and 97 too?
What's that?
First and 97?
Well, you know, that's with the... And then on next Wednesday, you may see at 1 o'clock, a group of us will be out at First Street. When school gets out, they're getting out early that day at 1 o'clock, and we're going to be out there with the Kittleson and Associates, the consultant, and the county roadmaster, whatever they call him, public works directors or road guys. Anyway, we'll all be out there to watch how kids cross the road, how does traffic work, where do they flow, where do they go to, so before we start making decisions. So that's set up by Kittleson, so you may see us out there from 1 to 2. And then we're going to walk back this way into town, because Kittleson says they're noticing all kinds of issues, which doesn't surprise me. So we'll be doing that. So that's another ODOT issue. I'm getting lots more road stuff. And so it occupies more of my time than, you know, not this planning ones, just citizens. And so that's, you know, a little interesting. And I can see that consuming more time. Because in most cities, roads are a huge issue, and this is no different. And it's far exceeding law enforcement questions. Probably because we use a road every day, and we may not use a cop. If a person has an issue with a cop, they may come down here, but most of us don't have, it's not an issue. But roads we use every day. So it's everything from, we've had the request to put in speed limit signs in Cagle subdivision. You know, you've got the people who have 15 mile an hour signs, but the reality is you couldn't write a ticket on that even if anyone wanted to, because that's not a legal sign, and it's, it's like putting up a lawn sign. It has no bearing, but it's a nice sign. You couldn't cite, because the only way you can have a speed sign that is different, you have to actually approve it. It has to be approved through the state system, and you do an ordinance and everything. So there is no 15 mile an hour speed limits. Residential zones have a 25 mile an hour, and that's by state law. Unposted, they are 25. So Cagle subdivision is a 25 mile an hour speed. I thought maybe, you know, we could go out and do a contract with someone to go to, there's, I don't know, X amount of streets out there, but go to each end of the five or six streets and put up 25 mile an hour signs. And so everyone going either direction, or if you're coming off of, Huntington?
Burgess.
What's that one?
Cagle.
No matter if you're turning left or right, I mean, you know, any direction, you're going to at least drive by an official 25 mile an hour speed zone. And if people drive 25, it's not too bad. Then maybe to the ones going north where they all dead end, you could do a dead end sign. So everyone knows it's not a through street, and we just go along those, I don't know, someone's going to correct me if it's four streets, five streets, whatever it is, and we put up dead end signs on those. So that people don't go down there and just have to turn around at the other end. And it saves a trip for those citizens, which is dust. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to spend, this is just a wild guess, but we're going to spend, you know, $300 or $400 probably a sign, $200, because you're going to have to buy a 4x4 treated post that's tall. It has to be drilled into the ground, has to be put in. The signs themselves are for $40 or $50 or whatever, and the labor to do it. but it's a one-time deal, basically. And, you know, in our road budget, it's something we could probably do. So I want you to start thinking about that. And that's why we didn't have a lot of our agenda tonight, so we can meet. We don't get to spend as much time on some of these. So then I've got a man who wants a dead-end sign on his street. And the problem is it's not even a city street. It's not a county street. It's a street. And so
are you going to get it?
Yeah, well, kind of. It's kind of a dead end. And it gets into more of a policy question. You know, it's not a street. It's not a city street. It's not a county street. It's a public usage road that's shared by several neighbors. Do we put a dead end sign up and spend several hundred dollars? He thinks I'm going to be calling in and coming with a sign. Maybe it's you. I don't know. But
it's not your street, let him put up the sign.
I told him that, but that wasn't quite the answer he was looking for.
You're on the street thing now, as you pointed to me. I come down here complaining about the stoplight there at Burgess and Huntington. They fly through that sucker 60 miles an hour. If you don't believe me, go down there and measure the skid marks. They try to beat that light. It's worse now than it's ever been. They crash and end up in my yard. You know? The other day, you had two women make a left turn. They hit head on.
Sir, would
but
you
they need to do something about that light.
For the record, would you give your name, please, for your comments?
Yeah, Boyd. B-O-Y-D.
And you live on
Burgess?
Thank you.
So the sheriff said he didn't have enough money to police it. Because the money's a little tight. But
yeah,
they're going through there faster than 45. I know it's not our street, but
so why do we have why isn't there a school zone within the school?
That came up today. Luana brought that to my attention, so I sent an email to the county, and it's another road issue that's going to take time. That is a county road, but the city has jurisdiction over signage. We will tell the county to put them up. They will put them up in the response I got back from the county engineer. The question is, there's rules on school signs and kind of where they put them and don't put them. And I'm going to be wrong in how I say this, so and understand that. Because this has all happened today, and I'm meeting with all these people. You don't just put a school cross sign, because there's no sidewalks on Burgess. They said you don't, normally when you see them, if you think about it, you go through a place, there's a place to go. And because out there you have no striped bike lanes, we have no sidewalks, you're just kind of out in the middle of what you would call a borrow pit. It comes out of the school up onto Burgess and you just drop down the other side. And they said it's kind of an odd place to put, you're funneling people to a place that doesn't go anywhere. So that's just the initial response. And bottom line is they will install if for us, and they'll pay for that. We got to figure out where that goes. So, and he said don't do anything without talking to the school, because if you go put it up in the wrong spot, they'll be mad. So in this email is the school people, and we will look into where the school thinks it should go.
So are we talking about the
new school?
Right. Are we talking about the 20 mile an hour safety zone?
Yes.
Okay.
That whole thing.
Well, and then we'll move it down and try to take care of this problem.
And they talked about this. Could be you put it actually at the light. You know.
Could ask them to put a crosswalk there.
Yeah.
Because that would be the only place that the kids would be allowed to cross.
Yeah,
that's why they didn't put the sidewalks in.
Why?
Yeah.
All the students in that school are bused. There's no kids walking to that school. Every one of them bused there and bused home. That's why they didn't put in any sidewalks or any access to Burgess, because they all rode the bus. There's no walking students there at all.
You can't stop.
They're on the bus. But I don't understand why ODOT didn't put up the school zone signs. I mean, they've been building the school for a year and a half. They have plenty of time to do it. Why they didn't put the signs up
same school zone. I mean, I thought that was a state law. Were you?
They sent me kind of what the law is. I mean, this is all, we're going to figure this all out. It just came up. The school was open. I mean, school has been getting built. You're right. A lot of people should have been thinking about it.
Yeah.
But
I think so.
There's a process to it.
They were walking. They missed the bus.
I mean,
actually, mommy and daddy have come pick them up. No. They missed the bus. There's no place to walk on Burgess. Nowhere. Mm-hmm. Unless you're walking in the ditch.
If they go
and
to
when there's 4 feet of snow in there, you can't walk in the ditch.
So I think about taking some of this to our public
walking.
Do you have a quick question?
Actually, Barbara and I called the school district after they were getting ready to open, and I believe they're busing in the kids from the other side. However, some of those kids, schools that are going to be walking. Mm-hmm. Remember you and I talked about that, which I thought was really, that is an issue you need to look at.
That's not true, because they're all going to be bused. The only walking that they plan for that school is when the new neighborhood is completely mm-hmm. built. There will be walking paths, and there will be streets that go to that school from the neighborhood, which isn't built yet.
That is what the school said.
Well, all of these things are going to be discussed and worked out with our city.
Well, what we'll do is go to Public Works and like talk about, should we go out and, you know, allocate, you know, maybe you just do part of them this year, maybe put $2,000 or $3,000 into some signs. That's not too much to go out, maybe help those neighborhoods out there and start doing that, you know.
The idea of the signs and cable subdivision for the speed and the dead ends, we should go do that. It should be done. There've never been signs out there. People just drive like,
yeah, we go take out 15-mile-an-hour signs.
That should really be done.
Yeah. So look for that coming back, kind of from our committee and stuff. And so I'm spending, like I say, there's Crescent Creek. Crescent Creek homeowners have cracks in the roads. They do the plowing, they do the alleyways, but they're saying that they shouldn't repair the road. So that's a county-approved subdivision before the city was incorporated. So I then diverted into that discussion, again, with the county, and have finding out interesting stuff is where I will leave that. And that I have a meeting after I'm done with ODOT and these guys. As to Crescent Creek, the roads, what they are, what they were built to, and whose responsibility they are. And I've got 5 or 6 people in this email train of all of this. And these are what I call issues of the day that occupy a lot of my time, which is good. You have to do it, but understand, it just does. And if you don't know what's coming tomorrow. And I try to balance the charter, sewer, water, the other things that we're doing that are kind of the longer term, bigger picture, and then you have to spend a certain amount of time with these. You saw my deal on the manure over the fence. And so I went out, you know, I sat in the living room with the complainants, met a nice family, and then met the people on the other side that were being complained about. And I met the mother, the daughter, and the granddaughter. And, you know, different conversations, of course.
As far as the Crescent Creek roads, now, of course, there are new roads since incorporation. Is the county looking at those differently, or is the other
ones? Well, they mention that. And what they say is the first phases, it appears that they, and I talked to your lady today.
Jane.
They appears that the county, they did build the county standards mm-hmm. when they built it. Now, you don't normally build a county standard unless the county's taking the road over because it's cheaper for the developer not to. Now, that doesn't mean he did build them the county standard under the assumption he wasn't giving them to the county. Now, the county doesn't want anything given to them. But
county owns all that property, though.
Well, no, I mean, it's the subdivision. And so what I got to get to the bottom of, when this was approved, what was said and who said what and who is responsible? This is all talked about in the approval process. And I have the approval. They've emailed that to me. And it talks about roads, but it doesn't send a clear direction as to, it talks about the alleys, and it talks about other things. It doesn't say whose responsibility is the driving roads. Well, they respond back to me and say, well, you know, part of those were done after the city became incorporated, like phases 4 and 5 or something. Well, according to the lady out there, those phases haven't even been developed yet. So, there's no roads there. And so on a map they send me, they've got all of these like roads, and then they put where the city road is and all of this. It needs a face-to-face to go over it. The subdivision has been plowing those roads at their expense. The assumption is, obviously, that it is their responsibility. Yeah. I don't know.
Yet.
And, you know, there may be never an answer.
I just want the cracks in the road sealed.
Well, but it's a bigger discussion. And these are all things, because you weren't a city, and there's nothing anybody can do. So it's just a kind of working your way through them, issue by issue.
Would you come out to the Wheeler subdivision next? The cracks.
Well, let me get these ones done.
Well, we need them worse. We have more.
My opinion is either seal the cracks now at lesser cost, or let it go another winter and the big chuck holes in it, and then reload.
It will be going another winter. We will not have this answer this winter.
Ridiculous.
I'm learning a lot. I mean, it's very educational, and we need it to know what's going on. What I do, I go hunt for the facts first. I want all the paperwork. You know, people give me war stories, and I just, okay, that's all great, and I listen to it. I want what's approved, what was done, because we can't set precedent. If we start going in and taking over that subdivision, you got other ones. You got to know what's the basis for this, or else you can break yourselves. So, roads are
fine. I think that we should set up like a criteria on how we address them. And the first criteria would probably be public safety. Then we prioritize them by arterial and connectors and that type of thing.
Right.
But we first have to know what belongs to whom.
You have to have a starting point. But yeah.
It's a big project.
Well, I mean, it is. And we do have our bids out, trying to get the quotes on graveling for twice. We got those out. They'll be out back at the end of the month. And snow plowing also. So we have a couple things out there pending for snow plowing. And so roads keep me busy. Let's see. Tomorrow, of course, we have our meeting. Mayor's going to speak. We'll come back to that. The mayor's going to speak at a ribbon cutting at the school on the 14th. She's going to call you, did she?
She has not called
me. She called me twice.
Okay.
Okay, so you'll be doing that. They're doing grand opening at 5 o'clock on the 14th of the new school. And they wanted me to talk, and they sent that to the mayor.
And if she doesn't call me tomorrow, I will give her a call.
Tomorrow, 10 o'clock, is our joint meeting. And you've seen the agenda on that. And, we don't know what flavor that will take. So be prepared.
Where is the agenda?
They're sitting on the counter out there, and I don't know if they sent them around.
You got one emailed to you.
Yeah, but we have them on the counter.
Just one page.
I didn't have
a You can get it on your way out.
Get the last one.
Okay. I'll look at the
Expect, what do they call when you get lots of flavors on a snow cone?
Knives.
I don't know, but when you get lots of flavor, expect, who knows. Their attorney will be there, and according to the last conversation we had, she will be doing most of the talking. We'll be on our toes and listen. And the only thing I added to the agenda was I want to know if anyone would like to serve on our utilities or public works committee. And then the IGA is on there. I'm assuming they're going to try to continue the IGA discussion to lengthen it, and or I don't know, settle the IGA issue. And then I, going back to the USDA, I talked to them about the loans on the sewer and water, and went quite a discussion with them on those, and how many they are. I have a listing of the grants and loans, and you know, that will be a place we will have to spend some upfront money again that we will be able to recover, but because we will have to have bond counsel to assume some of the loans that they have sold out in the bond market and everything. There is a process to transfer those into our name that we can acquire them. And again, they're going to check things out. There's a process, and it's kind of you check them off. There will be more legal time. I mean, it's one of these things that when you get into bonds and loans and things, you will, and Jeremy don't do bond counsel. That's Portland stuff. And so that'll be all new for the city here because we've not done any of that. That's why it will take us several months to kind of work through this. But the boss at USDA and Pam understand that we're moving forward on this, and you know, things will be coming. And so we will be sending a request over to probably Sewer and Water, probably going down all kind of a due diligence of information and documents that we need. You know, and that's going to come from, there's a lawyer in Jeremy's law firm that's going to handle this. Sharon is her name. And she does water type issues. And we'll be sending over a request of, we need these items. You know, we need the loans. We need the water rights. We need the documents so that we can then start to do our due diligence as you do anything that you're going to do. Then I'm meeting in Matters on the 13th. Is that next Monday at 11 o'clock at my office with Oregon Water Resources Department, the manager, and also DEQ's manager and the governor's office on this issue. And that is to go over the DEQ. What I'm trying to do is meet with everyone that I know has a permit or something that we're going to have to get transferred to us so that they understand why we're moving forward. You know, kind of a preliminary, just say, this is why we're doing it. This is why it's necessary. This is the kind of the direction Lapine and the council are going. And look for us down the road to be coming at you with questions, comments, and ultimately, you know, so a water right's an example. We have to get the water right put in our name. We want to make sure, how do you transfer a water right? Jeremy and them will handle that. But I got to kind of set the table with these folks of why.
And do we need more?
Yeah, well, this, we're going to take what we have. The more will come after we've acquired. You know, you don't want to mix in more when you haven't got the one you have. But yes, I mean, that's all. I mean, we're acquiring those districts. Mm-hmm. As far as going for additional water rights, you better first acquire the district before you start getting into. But yes, and they may have some pending that they're working on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the same with DEQ. You have a permit to discharge the effluent. The state of Oregon gives you a discharge permit in the name of the sewer district. We need to have that being able to be transferred to the city of Lapine. Every one of them is going to have their own process, and they can take months. So that's going to happen the next Monday. So that's kind of my next couple weeks.
Me.
Okay. And the League of Oregon Cities at the end of the month for all of us.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. Any other staff comments? Luana? Patty?
Done.
We'll move on to council comments.
I have two. I attended the last RIGI meeting, and they had absolutely nothing happening there except for BioGreen. Other than that, there's nothing going on whatsoever at the industrial park. And in reference to the letter from Ken Kendall, our budget officer, I would like to recommend that at time appropriate, we draft him a very nice thank you letter, signed by the mayor and signed by all the councilors, thanking him for his 3 years of really good, solid, hard work. The guy really did a great job for us, and he deserves to be complimented for it.
He does. We might even want to do a plaque or something.
Yeah. That would be nice, yeah. Yes.
He's not done yet. He's going to help us for a few months.
I know, but when time is appropriate, we should have it on our minds. We can do it. I think he deserves it, the very least.
Thank you.
I agree. Thank you. Adele.
Monday, September 13th is City Hall Day. I don't know if anybody's going to be attending. In Bend, I'll be there.
Where is it at? I
didn't. It's at the police station.
I haven't been there.
Oh. Good. It's 575 Northeast 15th Street.
Okay.
And that is at 5:30.
Northeast 575 Northeast 15th.
And I don't know if maybe I should have added this as an agenda item, but I think it's the time has come that I think the city should join the chamber. That we've had several, always feel like, that, you know, I think that relationship should be formalized in a way, and that. So that we can get a better price in the booth and what have you. But we really should participate as members.
Breakfast. Pre-breakfast.
Well, yeah.
I was going to suggest that we just go ahead and vote on that, but then I remembered that our council rules and procedures say that we don't vote on new items to an agenda. It's something we could do real quick. Can we forego a council rule and procedure item if the council agrees to it?
You can do most anything.
That's what I thought. Would council like to go ahead? Do you need further discussion, or would you like to go ahead and...
How much is the dues?
To do that?
For a nonprofit.
For a nonprofit, $85.
Yeah. That's...
Does that include everybody?
How many other cities have done this, Rick? Is this a common thing with the city to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce or not?
Yeah, probably. I think it's more, they obviously don't care in a sense. It's symbolic. A, $85 is fairly symbolic. It's not very much money. B, being a member is symbolic. C, you are a big part of their funding. Mm-hmm. They're there partly, I don't know what percent, but it's fairly significant.
Yeah, about half.
So mm-hmm. You're already funding them thousands of dollars a year. So you're a partner with them anyway. So it is more of a symbolic. Mm-hmm. A lot of chambers probably would put down the city as a member regardless. It's fine. I think the county
belongs.
I think Matters belongs to their chamber, and they fund 35% of that chamber.
Mm-hmm. The chamber already includes us anyway. We get their news, their
information,
hard copy newsletter. We get everything emailed to us. But I kind of agree with the symbolism of joining. I think it would be a good thing to do.
One thing, if we're funded that much, they ought to give us a complimentary membership.
That's another
point. You're actually funding the Tourism Visitor Center side, and that's not the chamber membership side. We're actually supported by chamber membership. The visitor center part is the tourism TRT part, so that's where that support comes from. In some counties and cities like Prick County, they get a lot of additional funding beyond the TRT funding, so it's kind of minimal, but
how much do they give you? The TRT side?
How many dollars?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Probably on the average of 30,000.
That's not many.
Up to 45 or 48.
I think this year it was over 40,000.
Depending on the economy.
Yeah. It was taken the last quarter. But what I'm saying is it's kind of pass-through dollars for the most part. It goes to TRT, goes to tourism, and promotion of the area and that kind of thing. It's not like the membership dollars go to the membership to support the membership. The TRT dollars goes to support the town.
Yeah. It's the same office.
Same office, yeah.
They share the light bills, share the phone, so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we could spend $85 or Rick's time sitting here negotiating, wondering if Dan's going to give us an honorary membership or if we should pay for one.
Well, I haven't given any honorary memberships that I know of, so I don't know how we...
I was kidding.
It was nice. I think it was funny.
That number is $38,300 for a year.
Okay, for last year?
Budgeted for this year. Based
budget,
on,
so we're below budget this year so far.
Yeah, well, yeah, based on tourism receipts throughout the county. Okay.
Are we going to do it by consensus or by motion? Or?
I think we should do it by motion if we're going to do it. Is council okay with that? Step outside of our rules and accept making and voting on a motion on new business this meeting?
Yes.
Councilor Brenner? Okay, to step outside of our rules and make a motion and vote on new business?
It's fine with me.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I don't agree with it, but I don't have a problem with taking a vote on it.
All right. I will entertain a motion for Chamber to... for the chamber, for the city to join the chamber for an annual membership cost of, what was it, $85?
Mm-hmm. I so move.
I second.
The move is twice for each. Pick one. roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, no.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes 4-1. It was a roll call vote, so the votes are on record. Okay. Any other comments, Adele?
No, I think I did that.
Councilor Hedges.
Okay, I went to the COIC meeting last week, as did Don Briner, and it was very interesting what is going on there with their new intermodal facility. Bend isn't very loved at the moment. I would like to find out if the cell phone contract was taken care of. Mm. Patty was going to see if she could break that.
We can get rid of it. We can dump it, right? Did we?
We did.
We did.
It is dumped. Okay.
Okay.
And that is all that I have.
Councilor Greiner?
Well, I too was at the COIC meeting. There's a couple things that you might be interested in knowing. One, Neighborhood Impact is working with COIC, and they were awarded $300,000 for 2009 to 2011 to assist homeowners in keeping their homes. The applicants must own their own homes and the land. They are trying to target older homes, especially those that are in need of repair for might be fixed incomes where the owners don't have the ability to both maintain their home as well as make the payments on it. They must fall within 80% of the area median income or lower, be current in their mortgage payment and taxes, and have enough equity to cover the loan for these needed repairs. And this is a loan, it's not just a grant. At present, they have 8 homes that are qualified with repairs underway. And then nitrogen treatment system upgrades cost anywhere from $8,000 to $18,000. And because of the current economic conditions, many families do not meet the requirements for Neighborhood Impact loans. However, Deschutes County does have some funding for that available. Also, COIC Assisted Deschutes County Partnership to End Poverty and the Lapine Community Kitchen in obtaining an $800,000 grant for construction of a new food bank facility here in Lapine. One thing you might like to know too, they had two loans that they had to write off. One was $19,782.19. The original loan was for $60,000 for log and lumber unfinished furniture. And they just went out of business and there was no way to collect the money, so it was written off. The second loan was for $96,266.38. The original loan was for $100,000, and the loan was made to Larry's RV in Bend, and it said that the company is still in business and they will continue to collect, or try to collect the money, but they wanted it written off because they can't show it on a month-to-month basis where there's no payments being made to it. And there's not enough property involved that it would satisfy the loan. COIC currently has $236,591.20 available for small business loans. So if anybody knows somebody in the community that's interested, they should contact COIC and see what they could do on it. COIC's current attorney fees to date has been $17,000, and it may reach as much as $30,000, and a lot of that cost is with the IGA between Bend and COIC over BAP. Originally, when they agreed to take it over, the city wanted a very minor shake hands agreement. It seems that when it came time to get down to the nitty gritty, the city kept changing what they wanted, so they had to go to an attorney, and it's cost quite a bit of extra money. Commissioner Unger is going to meet with Bend's city manager and request partial reimbursement for the attorney fees. It appears that many members of the counties and cities feel that COIC bailed out the city of Bend when they took over BAP, but COIC feels that that isn't the case, that it was something that they needed. So that's very much what I got out of the meeting.
Anything else?
Not for me.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that. I'd just like to comment on the Habitat for Humanity houses that are going up over on Midsway. If you haven't driven by and taken a look at those, three of them at the same time going up. Yeah, making real good progress on those. It's great to see something that positive going on right in our own little neighborhood. Also, the DEQ Nitrate Steering Committee is going to have their organizational meeting tomorrow, 6 p.m. at the Senior Center, so if anyone wants to go to that. And that's all I have.
You made me think of one thing. This is a policy question. I just want to make sure, because of the politics possibly of it. When we have a motel that doesn't pay their transient room tax, and they become several months behind, in the past, if they got 6 months behind, you have move forward more aggressively with letters of demand and so on. Is it something that if you get 30 or 60 days late, do you want us to send a letter? What's the preference of the council on motels that don't pay the transient room tax that they've collected to the city?
Okay, first of all, what has been done and does it work? And do we want to stay with that?
It does work.
And what has been the process?
Sending an aggressive letter after 6 months.
From whom? From the city?
Jeremy.
From Jeremy? Mm-hmm. How many times has this had to be done?
twice by the attorney. Christine sent one once.
And I have a letter pending in there.
So this will be the fourth
time. I have a letter pending, and one of my concerns was we talked about legal bills. If that, I don't know that that's public, so I'm not going to make that mistake. So I just don't know if that's public. But I don't want to spend $500 on attorneys to collect $1,000. See, and so and in our policy, you know, I don't know that it, you can collect the legal bills, and there's a little penalty thing. I just, because I just want a direction from the council, because you're a small town, and everybody knows everybody, and. What's, you know, do you want to go 6 months before we go after people? Do you want to go shorter than that?
90 days.
90 days sounds good.
Okay.
3 months is good. I read your letter and it's right on point. Perfect. And that should go up. And 90 days is probably the right time.
Yeah, there's a letter in there. You can look at it if you want.
And that comes from the manager.
Yeah, I was debating whose signature to put on it. realizing that my popularity will continue to decline. But the longer you're here, because your friends come and go and enemies accumulate. You know, for a lot of various reasons. And, you know, that will be one. So, no, it's got my name on it right now. I thought about putting Luana's.
I wouldn't mind signing it.
The city manager or somebody else or the attorney. It's not going to be the elected, but we're supposed to insulate you from, you know, that money's been collected by the people who stay in the motel. Mm-hmm. And they are a steward of that money. And I don't care if it's $50. They have to send in a monthly report that says how many room nights were rented and the tax they collected. But if you read the River House was short 100 and some grand, I think, yes. In Bend. So this is an ongoing issue. Those are bigger numbers than we're dealing with. But I just kind of wanted a direction. We worked on the letter last week, and I just kind of had wanted to get thoughts.
Let's not see anybody in this town up that high.
It's much more official. The letter goes out with the city manager's name on it. That gets somebody's attention a little quicker than the mayor. Not the select mayor, of course, but I think it's a little bit more businesslike. And that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a business that didn't pay their bills. Mm-hmm. So now you're running the business of the city, then it should have your name.
And so it's a 3 month, 90 days or 3 months.
Yeah.
And what does the demand?
Well, the demand letter says you've got to do this within 10 days, submit the reports and the things, and then there are some penalties and things. And, of course, so far, after the demand letters have went, they've in the past have always paid. They calculated the penalty. It's a confusing penalty. I have been here to have to calculate it. But the person sent a penalty, and just roughing through it, since it was all done prior, you know, I just kind of glanced at it, and it looks pretty close. You know, they might have been 32 cents short or something. It's, you know. But there is a penalty. You know, it's 10% if you're more than this many days late. Then, after so many days of that, it goes to 15%. So you got to add the 10%, get that in there, and then you go. And is it compounded? And, you know, it's a process. But I don't want to spend legal time.
No.
On the darn thing. It's a repeat facility. It's all the same facility.
And so, if the demand isn't met within the specified length of time,
I have to see what you do. I mean, if eventually there's obviously courts and all kinds of stuff.
But that hasn't happened.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think
okay.
It will.
So the next step would be court anyway. You wouldn't spend money.
Oh, you probably have to send a second demand letter. And, you know,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
But it's, I just have it ready to go. We send it certified and regular mail, so that nobody can say they didn't get it.
Send the sheriff over.
The sheriff won't go to collect transient room tax.
To lock the door.
Yeah, it's
okay.
So thank you for that direction.
Okay. with that, I believe we can adjourn the meeting.
2-hour meeting, perfect.
2-hour meeting. 2 hours and 4 minutes and 45 seconds. All right, meeting is adjourned.
See everyone at 10 o'clock tomorrow, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Mm-hmm. 8:05.